I want to call to order the Higher Education Finance and Policy Committee. I will move to re-refer House File 2647 to the General Register. Members, this bill has been worked on since November of last year. We have had both caucuses working on it in the revisor's office. Senator Bonhoff has attended most of the meetings, and I believe there were six. I'll have Mr. Gehring walk us through the bill, and then if there are any questions or if anyone wishes to testify, and then we'll act on the motion. Mr. Gehring.
Mr. Chair and members, I'm not going to walk through section by section unless you'd like me to do that. There is a bill summary in the packet that goes through the individual sections if you have questions on specific pieces of the bill. But what I was going to do is just do a sort of overview of some of the basic structure of the bill and then some of the highlights where there's language that might have a little bit of policy impact. I would say in general, in the text of the bill, there's very little that would have any impact at all on the way students would interact with the Office of Higher Ed or the Minsky or U of M systems or on the way that any existing operational programs would function. Almost everything in the bill is very technical, and really in a lot of sections there isn't a whole lot to say, which is why I'm not going to do sections by section. But I will walk through the way it's structured by system. So I'll start with the Office of Higher Ed. There are 14 sections in the bill that have a variety of miscellaneous, basically streamlining and terminology updates, and there's a few grammatical corrections. In addition to that, there's a reorganization of some definitions in Chapter 136A that basically allow that chapter to have sort of streamlined usage of the way that certain terms are used, including the shortening of the phrase Office of Higher Education to the Office, and that allows for fewer words to be used in the chapter of statute. A few items that might have some potential interest, and these are items that I would still say are technical issues, but would have potentially some very, very minor impact on policy. One section is codifying a 2005 session law related to extension of financial aid eligibility for students who are ordered to active duty military service for an additional semester. This is not a change in policy, although in the bill it does appear that there's new language in the statute. You can see that language on section 14 for the state grant program and then section 17 for the child care grant program. In Section 39 of the bill, there's an elimination of a stray reference to the profiles of learning academic standards, and those standards were repealed in 2003, so that language is now obsolete. Another item that there might be some sort of modest policy implication is a clarification on the standards for an institution to use the word college in the institution's name. This is really is a technical fix, but it does, if you compare the language in the bill to what's in the current law, it could be implied to read that you're extending eligibility to refer to your institution as a college for offering different types of degrees. This is language in sections 40 and 41 of the bill. Then finally, another piece that might have some sort of negligible policy impact is in section 18. This is a section that currently contains some language related to eligibility for the Indian Scholarship Program. This section eliminates language that allows the Commissioner of Higher Education to determine that a student is eligible for an Indian scholarship if it appears that the student is likely to benefit from further education. This is a recommendation that was proposed by the Office of Higher Ed, and my understanding in talking to Ms. Grimes from the office is that it's not the current practice of the Commissioner to actually make these recommendations. In the repealer section, there are a few repealers that do affect the Office of Higher Ed. One is the repeal of a subdivision that requires the Office of Higher Ed and also the public systems to respond to data requests from the legislature. This is the repeal of Section 135.05, Sub 2. This is recommended as a technical fix because the expectation is that the systems and the office will continue to respond to requests from the legislature, even without a statutory mandate to do so. Some other repealers that affect the Office of Higher Ed include repeal of a series of statutory sections and as well as some administrative rules related to the prior role of the office as a lender for federal Stafford loan programs. A change in federal law means that the Office of Higher Ed no longer acts in that capacity, and so the statutes and the administrative rules are no longer necessary. And finally, related to the Office of Higher Ed, there's a repeal of some administrative rules related to a medical and osteopathy student loan program. This program was repealed in 1989, and my understanding is that all the students that participated in that loan program have now paid off their loans, and so that set of rules is no longer necessary. Next, there's a series of sections that relate to language that was requested by the Minsky system. Minsky has 8 sections in the bill that have sort of miscellaneous streamlining and clarifications and terminology and grammatical updates. Then an additional 19 sections that define and streamline the usage of the phrase Board of Trustees in the bill. So the phrase Board of Trustees is shortened to just using the word board as a way to shorten up the length of the chapter. A couple of items of potential interest in the Minsky sections. In sections 46 and 49, there are sections that clarify the right of students to serve on the Board of Trustees, and is clarifying that a student has to be a student at the time they're appointed to the board. That's section 46. And then in section 49, there's a clarification about the process for nominating individuals to fill vacancies in the labor position on the board. There is a couple of repealers related to Minsky. One is a repealer that repeals language that transitions designations of institutions from state normal schools and teachers' colleges to what would eventually become state colleges and universities. So that language is now obsolete. And there's also a number of repealers that delete some obsolete language and outdated legislative reports that have since been submitted to the legislature. And finally, there's a couple of sections in the bill related to the University of Minnesota. There's an elimination of language related to a report on the feasibility of the use of the Umore Park land for recreational purposes. Then also a report on neighborhood impacts related to what is now DCF Bank Stadium. Both of these reports were submitted in 2007 and are now obsolete. And then finally, the U has a repealer. It's repealing section 137.092, subdivision 1. Which eliminates language that actually dates back to 1913. This language authorizes the University of Minnesota to essentially build its own passenger railway system to connect campus and the university farm. And my understanding is that they have not built such a railway, and so it's no longer necessary. And Mr. Chair, that's kind of the highlights of the bill. I'm happy to take questions on specific sections if people have them. Otherwise, the systems and
members. I want to remind everyone that we did our unsession work in 2013. This committee froze tuition. By freezing undergraduate tuition at the University of Minnesota in the Minsky system, we began a process of stopping debt. So we have, for the first time, taken a major step at ensuring that there would be affordability in higher education. We eliminated the Higher Education Advisory Council. Well, it hadn't met in a year and a half. So we have eliminated one council. We also eliminated bonuses. We said it was inappropriate to have bonuses at the salary rates and given what had happened over the last 10 years in higher education. The requests were much broader than what you see here. The 6 meetings that Senator Bonhoff and some of you I know, Representative Nornes was on a phone conversation. I don't know how long he stayed on the phone, but I think you got the gist of the particular meeting that you and I think it was Senator Miller were participating in. The revisor's office sat in on all these hearings. We have asked the revisor to begin to build what will be the 2015 revisor's bill. There were recommendations made by all 3 of these entities, which frankly need a lot more work. And if they end up in the revisor's bill, and by the way, this is a first, that the revisor will be looking at constructing a revisor's bill for 2015, a year in advance. We will continue our work on legislative oversight. We're not done. And I think there's a better way to do unsession or mandate reduction. And instead of having the agencies tell us what to do, work from the bottom up. We did this in 97 and 98. Senator Murphy and I did it when Arne Carlson was governor. It can be done again, and it should be ongoing. So with that, if there are any questions, Representative Nornes?
Mr. Chair, I was just going to agree with what you just said. And I guess point out that this is not flashy or sexy legislation. And as you can tell by looking in the room, it hasn't attracted a big crowd. But it has to be done. So, yeah. Again, thanks.
Representative Grunhey.
Yeah, if it's not flashy or sexy, I'm not voting. No. Just kidding.
Any further discussion from members?
No.
Anyone wish to testify? I'm sorry, Representative Grunhey.
Yeah, I just want to express my appreciation for the people who worked on this and for you, Chair Pawlowski, on bringing a bill like this forward that I believe is a necessary bill to make those changes. Okay, thank you.
Both caucuses have worked on it, and the House and the Senate, extensively. And it did take, this took a lot of time to get even what we have before us. The reviser has a great quantity of work, and we will continue to do our work. So with that, I'll renew my motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Meeting is adjourned.
Sweet.